All right, we're still looking at faith. The radical faith. Let's go to Hebrews, back to Hebrews 11. We're going to look at what Hebrews says about the faith of the Old Testament. We'll find out it's the same faith as the New Testament. Hebrews 11, let's start in verse. Let's start in verse 1 and reread that one. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, basically, from the standpoint of faith, the only way any of us will receive a good report is if our faith is radical. We take no thought for our own life. So let's see if we can understand it. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which were seen or are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, we never really know what the next minute is if we're living in faith, and we have no understanding and no expectation of it being this way or any way. It's the idea that things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. So in other words, the things that are evidences of our faith have nothing to do with what our senses see. Let's read that again. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Anybody understand that?
That Word of God part, it's like, that can mean a couple of things. Either the spoken Word, which He spoke things into existence, but the Word of God is also Jesus Christ, so maybe
that's the Word of Jesus Christ is His Word, the Word, He, how can I say that? Well, let's go on. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet he speaketh. Now, Jesus said that the blood of Abel is a prophecy, is a prophet that continues to this day, so that we can see that you don't gain, how can I say that? Abel is a type of what we do. In other words, we think up something and then we say then we're going to do it by faith. Here, Abel, He understood without any words, without any seeing, except some kind of an internal faith that we don't know anything about. All right.
I have one more comment. It's, speak of, to a normal man, means something that comes out of your mouth. But here it's, speaking is another dimension of reality, I guess, where blood speaks.
Right.
Talks to us spiritually,
yeah,
as opposed to my mouth making words, so you might understand.
Right, when you talked about the word earlier, that's what I was thinking. It's because, you know, it's a spiritual word, not an actual sound.
By faith, in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated or transfigured that he should not see death, and was not found because God had transfigured him, for before his translation or transition, he had hit this testimony that he pleased God. Now we don't know what he did to please God, we know what he didn't do. He pleased God by his faith. That's the only way you please God. That's a biggie.
This brings up a question to me of, do you have faith? Is it like a commodity you possess? Or is it you are faith by who you contain and live by?
Well, that's what we're looking at, to see if we can understand that from, because it's the same faith as the Old Testament, it is the New Testament, it's the same.
Right.
And so here we've got to see if we can understand, without thinking in cliches, what faith is. So let's go on. Well, let's read that again. No, we don't, never mind. Verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that diligently seek doesn't just have it be at the beginning. In fact, it's much stronger. The diligence is much stronger because you realize that you keep knowing less and less. And so finally, when you come to the point where you stop making judgments by your senses, then there is true faith. All right. By faith, Noah, now this is a perfect example. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So what did he do? Nobody on the earth had ever seen rain, because before the flood, the earth was encapsulated under the clouds, so that the whole earth supposedly was the same kind of. So it's like it wasn't different at the North Pole than it was at the equator, because being totally encompassed by clouds. That's why they lived so long, because there was no UV rays. Anyway. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out not knowing where he went. In other words, he didn't have a goal. He went out not knowing where he went. What do we do? What does man do with faith? Man has faith only when he sees what he wants and then says he has faith to get it. Do you understand that difference? I can promise you, there's no possibility of me with my senses ever seeing or believing that what I do now is what I would ever do. I mean, from my mind, this, what I do, is my worst nightmare. And has been ever since I started teaching. I went out not knowing where I was going, not knowing what I wanted to do. Only thing I knew was what I didn't want to do. And what I didn't want to do was give any more importance to a world system which no longer gave me sustenance and satisfaction. That was the only basis of my conversion. Now that's what the true definition of poverty, that you gain no sustenance any longer from anything in the world, anything in time and space. Not from family, not from friends, not from perfect jobs, not from money, not from everything. But we always have in our... And then I started screwing up after that. Anyway, let's go on. Let's just speak.
I think what I'm hearing, this is the point where man sees this great faith and it's revealed, and then by the nature of man says, now I can do something right. Now I can make it work. Now I can do good things for God. And that's the faith that's perverted by self as opposed to abandoning self.
All right, verse 9. But the point of verse 8 is that when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went, where he was going. How much of your life is spent knowing where you're going? And you try to get that. Because faith is the most frightening thing in the world. Because you have no idea what's going to happen next. And no image of what's going to happen next. You're not capable of even seeing the image that's going to happen next. If you have an image of what it's going to be, then you will never find faith. Because faith has to find you. And it happens only when you're empty.
What about Noah? He had something motivating him, and he had some concept of what an ark must look like. And it's almost like if he didn't pursue that, then he must have been very troubled.
Well, let's look at it. What would the operative word there, that to me, is he condemned the world by his obedience. In other words, of all the people on earth, at that time, we have no idea how many, but only 8 were saved. Of all the people that came out of Egypt, only 2 were saved. There's something else going on here.
So by his obedience, the world was condemned and died. And had he not done it, maybe someone else would have.
That's not our business.
I know, but the world still might have been condemned. This is the plan of God. He's going to pull it off somehow, I suppose.
Well, the point I'm making is the same is true now. If we had true faith, we would condemn the world by our faith. But nobody wants to say that. That's too awesome. That's why we're studying this. Looking at what faith is through the experience of all of these people in the Old Testament. And we'll see that if you see it correctly, it'll totally upset and turn upside down any ideas you had of what faith was. All right, let's continue. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of the promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac, or tents is what it says, with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. And we'll get more on that in a minute. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Now he's not talking about believers, but what happened is that shedding of the on Pentecost, from then on, if you see the number of human beings that have existed, it would probably right now be more than the stars of the sky and more than the sands of the sea. But what we have to see is this: we have to come to this unbelievably radical idea of faith, that it never, true faith never has anything to do with us. It never has anything to do with what you can imagine. It's a total 100% abandonment of self with no investment in the outcome. Okay. In verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of the country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, whereas God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Now, what he's prepared is the New Jerusalem. And the New Jerusalem doesn't look like anything we can imagine. But we've all grown up in the fairy tales about God in heaven. And, I did it last night again. I listened to a religious station, but I didn't even know it was there. And it was some guy I've never heard of talking about how wonderful heaven is going to be. And he had no idea what he was talking about. It was just something to make him look good in the eyes of the listeners. All right. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, this, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure or type. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worship, leaning upon the staff of the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. Well, that's always been a fascinating thing, how Joseph, they had to bring the bones of Joseph back to the Promised Land.
Yeah.
Anyway. I don't pretend to understand that. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come in years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now this is this interesting thing we've talked about many times. He didn't refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He killed a guy. But faith sees totally different. We would never have imagined that Moses being chased and being guilty of murder and being chased by Pharaoh escaped and hid out for 40 more years somewhere in the up in the mountains. But the scriptures and faith says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Maybe he saw that one just before he killed the guy. But anyway,
I just had a thought here of this is as mysterious to us as is the creation of the world in the first place, where there's nothing. God speaks everything into existence, however that happened. So it's almost like by this thought, scriptures, it's showing how he's creating his own world through faith. The kingdom of God is created, the city of Jerusalem, the new city's created. And it's kind of a parallel to God creating with
but what we see here is what if we have any integrity, we see how faith is really totally different than we ever thought it was. Because we always try to put our end result on faith. We have an idea of what it's going to look like, and so we set about doing it. Or trying to do it. It's something totally different. Let's look up. Let's look some more. Verse 26 is still talking about Moses. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel, the prophets, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel scourgings and mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tested, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, what does all that say? To me, it says that anything that we put, how do I say that? Anything that we have an image of what it's going to be, and therefore we say we are praying for that, that isn't faith. Even if you're praying for another person, it's again, it says faith. That has no reference to what our minds can possibly conceive. So what is it then? To me, it's the same thing that's repeated when the scriptures are always to the poor. And poor doesn't mean not having money. It means you're no longer getting any sustenance or satisfaction in what you're doing in the world or in the church. You no longer gain sustenance and satisfaction from something. That's the Bible's definition of poor. But if you're gaining sustenance and satisfaction, then you think you've arrived. This, am I communicating? You can never have. You don't ever believe you've arrived. From what we just read, there's no way you could ever believe you arrived. Think on these things. Consider these things. Anybody have any other response? Yeah. Go ahead.
Did you say something? No, I didn't say anything.
I'll look at 39. We just read about all these Old Testament guys. Having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, but having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. So there's some transition took place here, where I assume that's the coming of Christ in the flesh, that did something.
I mean, I don't understand.
Well, I mean, 39 and 40 are clear in that some different thing took place here. Those guys received a good report through faith, through Christ.
Through faith?
Through seeing, through this ethereal thing we're calling faith.
And they, through faith, received not the promise. God having some better thing that they without us could not be perfected.
What's the better thing?
The better thing is the fulfillment of the bride. There's nothing about individualism here.
Yeah, that they without us should not be made perfect.
The whole Bible is about
the part of the bride.
Right, the whole Bible is about the bride and the son, the bride and the groom. But we always make it about us in some way. But that's the whole point of what we just read. You go, there's only one thing. And that's why Jesus preached only to the poor. When you no longer gain sustenance and satisfaction from what you're doing. Then you can hear. Then you can understand the true gospel. then you begin to see what faith really is. A total abandonment of yourself. And that's the most frightening thing there is on the earth. Consider these things. We'll be studying more about faith for a while, because again, it's part of the battlefield of the mind. Mind is always trying to put itself in the picture. And I hope you saw from that the mind had nothing to do with anything that the people in the Old Testament were commended for. Go without knowing. All right, take it, big guy.